Story Chat with John Fornoff, the art and passion of storytelling. Here's your host, Brian Bullebush.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Story Chat, our little corner of the internet where we get to talk about story and the passion of story and hopefully encourage you guys in your storytelling journey. I'm here with my good friend, I said it right this time, John Fornoff. How you doing,
Thank
John?
You. Doing great, Brian. Thank you, man. Thank you. Thank you.
Got a question for you.
Okay. I love questions.
It's kind of the big one. Who's your favorite villain?
Wow. You hit me with this, like, we don't rehearse these. So it's like, it kind of hits me like, oh, wow. I wish we had rehearsed this one.
Favorite villain of all time.
Oh my goodness.
If you can't think of it off the bat, I'll probably, one of my favorite villains got to be Loki. And that that could be recency syndrome.
Yeah.
But the reason I say that is because the Disney Plus series Loki had just came out, which I was actually in, by the way. I was an extra in the Renaissance Festival scene.
Awesome.
It was pretty cool. It was really cool to see Tom Hiddleston. Owen Wilson is shorter than you think. but it was really cool to see Loki's character because the series actually ended yesterday, per this recording. He was the bad guy in the first Avengers film, and he's such a likable, you understand where he's coming from. Doesn't make it right, but you understand why he's doing what he's doing. And it's been really cool to see him turn from a villain, like a full-fledged, he's evil villain, to a protagonist. And for me, that has been just really cool to see it. My wife's a massive Loki fan, so might have a little bit of bias on that. So there's mine. Where's yours?
You know what? You just hit upon a key point, and I was going to say that before you said Loki, is my favorite kind of villains are multidimensional, where, and this, you know, we've seen this storyline before, it's like this, where you've got a definite villain, and then something changes about their character, and it's like, oh, they actually turn out to be, they reach out at the very last moment when the hero is in trouble, they actually flip, help the hero, and then they die. You know, that's my favorite kind of villain.
I'm guessing you're a Spider-Man 2 fan.
Yes.
There you go. Doc Ock.
Yes. Yeah. There's something about that richness of the villain I love that, the multidimensional. So they're not all, you know, one-sided. They have another side to them. So that's my favorite kind.
Your favorite kind, but specifically, do you have a specific favorite? It doesn't have to be your ultimate favorite, but one that just comes to the top of your head.
Oh, man. Yeah, this is a great place. We talk about writers being stuck. Now we talk about podcasters being stuck.
That'll be our next episode. How to get unstuck on your next podcast.
if you're hit with a hard question and you're like live and I don't know what to say and my mind just goes blank. So I'm relating to where you are. If you're having a blank page moment, I'm having a blank page moment.
Am I your favorite villain? Because I'm asking you really hard questions.
this is something really important about a villain because we're talking about how to create a great villain. And I'll be thinking in the background, I'm stalling here.
That's fine.
This whole episode is stalling so I can come up with something, right? No, how to create a great villain. A villain is not always an evil person.
Huh.
It's an antagonist. And that actually is the best term for it. It's a force. Here's your protagonist going this way and an antagonist stops them. Okay, so not always an evil person. Let me give you an example. This is one of my favorite times of brainstorming with Adventures in Odyssey. We're sitting around a living room. I forget whose living room it was. And we're coming up with this storyline. We're coming up with this, like, and somebody said, it might've been Bob Hoos. I forget who it was. But they said, what if is a great two word question that gets you started. What if, what if Wit wakes up and he wakes up and he realizes he's got a headache. His leg is bleeding and he's in a room without any doors or windows and he doesn't know how he got there and how he's going to get out. And I'm thinking, whoa, that's good, right?
That's it. That's interesting.
Okay. Yeah. And so what if he is being held by a mentally challenged person? His name is Lester. All right. The mentally challenged guy is Lester. And Lester is holding Wit. And not hostage, but he doesn't want to let Wit get out for certain reasons. He doesn't have anything against Wit. But Lester is a lovable guy, but he's also an antagonist. So he's not an evil guy, but Wit's got to get out of there. His leg is bleeding.
He's on a time clock.
He's on a clock and he's actually losing. He's losing blood. He's got to get medical attention. And he's stuck in this room and he's trying from this mental challenge guy, trying to find out how did I get here? Who are you? What's going on? And trying to, without antagonizing. So Lester is an antagonist, but he's not your evil guy. So a villain, we'll call them antagonists, are not always evil, but they are opposing force.
That's actually a really good distinction. Mm-hmm. Can you have an antagonist and a villain who aren't the same character?
Yes. In fact, you can have, Bob at Buster talks about, you have a villain and then you have an uber villain. In fact, in that story, by the way, that's called No Way In, No Way Out. The story.
With I can't say I'm familiar with that episode. It might've been one of the 100 that I never listened to.
It is so fun. It's a lot of fun. And it's two parts.
With the bleeding out wit, it kind of does. Fun.
It was what we did. Why it was so fun is we started outlining. What if this happened? And this, we could do this. As we outlined it, we're like doing beats like this back and forth. Oh, this. And somebody, and the ideas just flowed. It was the most beautiful brainstorming session we ever had. It just, because sometimes you're going along, listen, boom, you hit a wall and you go like, I don't know what happens next. We're all sitting around like, okay, that happens. Yeah. This one, it just flowed. And at the end of it, it's like, okay, who wants to write this? Go, I do.
Yeah. Makes
I want
sense.
This. I want this. Yeah. So that was, it was just so fun to write that story. So, and by the way, we map out our story beats. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then I get to write it, which is a lot of fun. So the antagonist in that story is Lester. All right. So that's your obvious. Here's a great story gets down to this. What does your hero want more than anything else? And it's something up the stakes. You want to make it like pretty desperate. Wit, he's dying. He's got to get medical attention. So he's got to get out of where he is. He's got to find out how to get clues out of a mentally challenged person to find out what's going on and how he can persuade this guy, negotiate with him so he can get out of there. All right. So he's got a very delicate maneuver, right? So then your antagonist is Lester. But then we find out, if we go the story further, what's so fun about this story when we outlined it was, we solved that question. We won't show you how, so it's a spoiler thing. But once we found that out, we found out actually there is another antagonist beyond that antagonist who is what we call our uber villain. So Star Wars, you think Darth Vader is bad.
Check out his boss.
Yeah, that's right. And the boss does not leave time for weekends it's terrible.
Or even times overtime. To see his son, you know, worst.
Yeah. The benefits are just really bad. And just, yeah. And it just, yeah. So there should be
no dental.
No dental. That's right. It's really bad. So
Vader's got some wonky teeth.
Yeah, that's right. So the uber villain is the emperor, right? So you think you got this, you think this guy's bad, wait till you see his boss. And then, so you have an uber villain. Yes.
So what makes a villain interesting? What makes them dimensional? Okay. Then how about this? I'll actually reverse the question on you while keeping both of those questions in mind. What's the worst villain you've ever seen, or a villain that you just went, he wasn't very good. And by very good, I mean, he was a bad villain.
Mm-hmm. Like it just didn't work. Story-wise.
Yeah, it just didn't work. It didn't feel hard enough. He kind of rolled over. He was one dimensional. He was evil for the sake of being evil. Kind of everything that goes against what you're going to be advising today.
Right. I run across this with, and feel free to, you know, send me stuff and all that, but sometimes I'll run across that when I'm reading other people's stuff. So I can't think of one specifically.
Okay.
But what'll happen is...
What about something mainstream, like maybe a Marvel movie? Like, it doesn't necessarily mean they're bad. It's just they closely resemble the... Like, from, I don't know if you've seen Ant-Man and the Wasp, but Yellowjacket was a pretty evil for the sake of being evil villain.
Mm-hmm. There's something I think... Let me go back. I'll rewind a little bit. When you get to movies of that stage, I mean, maybe they didn't work quite as well, but at that stage, you pretty much, when we get to that stage of movies or TV shows, they've worked out their villains pretty well. They've gone through the gamut there to kind of make sure those villains work. And usually they're pretty solid. Here's an interesting one. And I'm not quite answering your question because usually by the time it hits the screen, They've worked it out. As a villain, you're not relating to or whatever. Here's interesting. There's a show called The Crown, which is the story of the monarchy with Queen Elizabeth and all that. What's fascinating about that is you've got the queen, who is like the hero of the story. But in some cases, and this is going to be like real life, when you go to Charles's story, Prince Charles, she actually becomes an antagonist. So usually she's the protagonist, right? We follow her story. But when we go to Prince Charles, there's a point where she actually is an antagonist to his wants and what he wants out of life. And so it's kind of, I love those multidimensional villains. But what makes a great villain is it goes back to your story. The heart of your story is here's the one thing that will help you. This is my story consulting in one sentence. All right. When people ask me what makes a good story, what does your hero want more than anything else? They've got a passion to do blank. All right. And what is the force opposing that? There's your story. There's your conflict. There's your story. That opposing force is your quote unquote villain or your antagonist that's stopping. And the bigger the villain, the bigger the antagonist, the greater the conflict, the better the story. Hmm. It's like it. The more impossible it looks, the more like, how is he going to? And sometimes the antagonistic force could be nature. Maybe it's a tornado coming, or maybe it's a ship at sea and you've got to go through this storm. It could be a nature. It could be yourself. Maybe you're fighting against yourself. Citizen Kane, his greatest antagonist was his own self, his own selfish ambition. So what does your character want more than anything else? And what is stopping them? And how do they overcome that villain to save the day, to get what they want.
Yeah.
And what do they learn? They learn something in the process about themselves.
I'll actually not challenge you on it, but one of my favorite villains, because Loki actually just did this, is they reach the force of antagonism. They reach the final end boss, and the guy looks at him and offers him everything that Loki ever wanted.
Wow.
And yes. Loki says no.
Wow. Wow. That's good. That's really good.
Because it's about him becoming from a villain, because he wants to take over the world and have the Infinity Gauntlet and all that fun stuff. Right. I'm not going to spoil it for people who have seen it. I've probably spoiled it enough. I'm sorry if I spoiled it for you slightly, but I'm not telling you who it was. But I've seen a lot of it's both the protagonist's character development, because what they want at the end of the story isn't actually what they want. It's not what they need.
Ah, there you go. That's what they want. About. What do you want and what do you need is inside. And really, isn't that about life? It's like we want this. I want, you know, maybe you want a spouse. Go ahead.
And well, and that villain kind of twisting and going, okay, here, I will give you what you want. But the villain doesn't actually say this, but the protagonist knows that's not what they need.
Yeah.
And I love those villains because it's, hey, all your wishes will come true. There you go.
But you got to compromise to get there. That's the thing is, as your character, they want something more than anything else. What do they really need? And that's like life. You want something. I want this. I want to be rich. I want to solve my health problems, whatever it is you're going through. All right. That's what you want. But really there's something you need to get there. It's something inside. And that's really like life, right? You want this. That's actually might be even easy to get. But the tough part is what's going on in your heart. What do you need to change about your character so you're ready for that blessing to come? Because so if you're not ready, it'll destroy you.
What would you say some of the necessary steps, not necessarily steps, attributes, there we go, that a good villain needs? Top one, top two, top three, top 10. List can go on. What is something that you would say is necessary for Thanos, is necessary for Darth Vader, Sidious, that every villain has to have on some level?
Something to think about, and this relates to what you're just saying, is think about it from the villain's point of view. From the villain's point of view, he doesn't set out, he's not like, I'm the evil guy, I'm going to take over the world, I'm going to do evil, I love evil. No, in his world, he's the good guy, and the hero is the bad guy. So flip it around, take it from his point of view, all right? So think about from your villain's point of view, you are the hero of your story. What do you want? Think about this. What do you want as a villain more than anything else? You want this. And you put it in exact opposition to what the hero wants, right? I want this. And what I really need is this to get there. Okay. But what I want more than anything. And that force is opposing. So It's for a great villain, you need to have a force that is exactly the opposite of your protagonist. It's like, it's a force that is actually more powerful than your protagonist. The more powerful your antagonist, the more powerful your conflict, the better your story. Okay. So there's some points for you as far as what makes a great villain. Also multidimensional. Give him some character, give him a backstory. Now Robert McKee just wrote about this and he says, it's kind of a cliche if you empathize with the antagonist. I don't know if I agree with that, even though I respect Robert McKee. The thing is they got to have a reason why they're on this quest. Why do they want this, what we would call evil thing? In their world, it's a good thing, but in our world, it's an evil thing. Why do they want that? Go into their backstory. Get like, so you might not, Spider-Man was great about this, the early Spider-Man, you might not agree with their conclusion, how they got to be evil, but you can see how they got there.
Yeah, Osborn. Yeah. Like if we're talking the first Spider-Man, Osborn was kind of pushed because
yes,
his company was going under. He was being forced out. He was kind of left right. with no choice.
Right.
So in order to save everything that he worked for, and you could see he was a good family man, loved mm-hmm. Peter, loved his son.
Yep.
He wasn't evil. Well, until he took the super serum, which made him evil. He was just a guy trying to do his best.
Right, right. And so now Robert McKee says that weakens your character. I disagree. And what I like to do is I like to, as we look at story, we're looking at our own life. Okay. And what I like about a villain that you might not agree with their moral choices, but you see how they got there. It helps inform your own moral choices as you're looking at life and you're like, you know, I could go there, but I can see consequences, right, of going there. It's like, and I don't want to go down that path. Okay. You don't want to go down the villain path, but you can see how a person could get there. And it's a warning. It's like a, you know, one of those warning stories that your life can be a warning for others.
Well, so. Yeah, we were talking earlier on the phone about how story can mirror life in from your protagonist to your villain. And nobody really tries to go out and be evil. Yes, right. there are outliers to that, of course, mm-hmm. every mm-hmm. day, but starting out in art school, I don't think Hitler wanted to go, you know what? I'm going to be evil today and started the Third Reich.
You know, if that art teacher had been more encouraging.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. John, are you implying we're trying to stop the next Hitler here?
That's right. We're trying to stop Hitler. We want to encourage you in your writing. Please be the artist you're meant to be. Don't be a world dictator. Gosh. Okay.
Anyway, moving on.
So what makes a good villain, you're asking, just to wrap up, is they've got a passion, and they've got a passion that they want more than anything else. They've got a power that's overcoming the protagonist. It's stronger than the protagonist. It looks impossible because that antagonist force is so powerful. It's like you're wondering, how are they going to get out of this? That creates a mystery, right? How are they going to do this, right? So those are two things: passion, power, and believability. It's like, how did they get there? A stereotypical cliche type villain, you know, the twirling the mustache kind of thing is like, I'm evil for evil's sake. That's multidimensional. Make it multidimensional. Your villain multidimensional.
Not multidimensional is what you were give trying
that,
to say.
Whatever Brian just said is probably correct.
The curly Q one is not multidimensional.
He's not multidimensional. Well, great.
But you've also got to think, I would say, for those who have seen like Wacky Races or those kind of old 60s, one of my favorite villains of all time is Snidely Whiplash. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do.
And
actually,
he's exactly that. He's evil for the sake of being evil. But in fairness, it's more in a comedic sense, and he's always the butt of the joke.
Right, right.
So there is a little bit of a layering in that. Another villain who's kind of the same way is if you've seen Dr. Fate from The Great Race.
Okay.
Have you seen The Great Race?
I haven't, but Phineas and Ferb, what's the doctor in that? The evil mad scientist?
Oh, Heinz Doofenshmirtz.
Yeah, yes.
And he's literally evil for the sake of being
yes,
evil.
Yes, exactly. And those are fun. That's for comedy, okay?
But actually, Heinz Doofenshmirtz is evil for the sake of being evil, and he is for the first episodes. But you can very quickly tell if you watch the series from front to back, his heart's not in it. You can mm-hmm. tell by his actions. He says he's evil and he does all these yes. maniacal things,
yes,
but he's not.
Yeah, he's that's just interesting.
He's a good guy trying to be evil. He's a weird he's a weird protagonist in his own way, because if you really look at
in his own world, he's a protagonist.
No, actually, I would actually make the argument, at least I'm an expert in Phineas and Ferb.
Yes.
I'd make the argument that Heinz Doofenshmirtz is the protagonist in his own story. And Perry the Platypus is his antagonist.
Oh, there you exactly
because
right.
Because he's trying to do something, and Perry the Platypus stops him each time.
Exactly. Exactly.
So that's good. And I find that really interesting, because you're getting the villain character who's your protagonist.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't Infinity War do that as well, where Thanos was the protagonist? I don't know how familiar you.
Yeah. That was fascinating, because you could see, okay, you know, that was a great example, by the way. Thanos is like, you know, I don't want to be like him.
Yeah.
By the way, please don't be like him, okay? don't be like him.
Remember what all we right. said about Hitler earlier.
That's right, exactly. If Thanos had just been encouraged to pick up the ukulele, you know, it could have changed everything right there. But anyway,
playing a ukulele. Okay.
But anyway,
sorry, Thanos, that was
you
funny.
No. Thanos, you could see, you know, like, I don't agree with his choice. I see how he got there. And in his, this is the point. In his world, he is the good guy. He is trying to do the world good, the universe good, by eliminating half of it.
Like,
your question is like his logic. But anyway, he's trying to do good. And he's got a passion to do it. I'm going to do this. So that passion is really important for your villain. So hope that helps.
Did
hope
you come you up with a favorite villain yet?
I stalled this entire time.
And yes, you did. We have 8 minutes left. Okay. We have eight minutes left for you to come up with a villain.
I don't want to prolong it. It's all the agony of watching John twist and turn while he's trying to think of something.
Well, it doesn't have to be your favorite, but one that maybe sticks out for you. And why?
One that sticks out for me and why.
Maybe classic literature, classic movies, modern movies, something you've seen recently.
Oh, I'll just go for a cheap shot. Here's a great example. It's the classic Star Wars. I loved Darth Vader as an antagonist, as a villain. And what was so beautiful about that was in his story, he's the hero, right? And he has a passion. He wants to bring the universe in order, that kind of stuff, the galaxy in order. And he wants to do it with his son. You know, it's a father-son thing. It's a bonding moment, right?
Yeah,
you
know? Absolutely.
You know? And sorry about your hand there, but you know, it's just...
And legs.
That's right. But what can you say? But what's cool is he's multidimensional. Is like, there's a great example of a villain. Like at the end, he, not to spoil it for... The two people in the universe who haven't seen Star Wars.
Year did it come out? 85?
77 when he first came out. The first of this year. Yeah.
When did Return of the Jedi come out?
Oh, man.
84, 85?
Something like that. Yeah.
83? Yeah. Early 80s.
Okay. Yes. So anyway, what's cool is how Darth Vader turns and he actually becomes the hero in the ultimate battle, which is like, oh, that's rich. It's rich. And it makes for
and
a great
he does
story.
It believably.
Yes, he does.
It makes complete sense.
Yes, it does. It does make complete sense. And it's set up, by the way, beautiful setups and payoffs. Just like, you know, just a little phrase here. It fits. It fits with, it doesn't stand out, but later on it pays off here.
And it's actually kind of funny. Yeah, Luke is there to, at the end of Return of the Jedi, he is there to defeat the Emperor and bring an end to the Empire. But he wants to do that, but he needs to save his father.
Mm-hmm.
That was his mm-hmm. super objective.
Yeah.
Killing the Emperor and doing that was because he kind of turns that down multiple times. He says, strike mm-hmm. me down. He could have ended the war right there,
mm-hmm.
but he didn't, because that would mean his father would be eternally lost.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he didn't do it. And that was his super objective, and how that tied in with Vader. Star Wars is brilliant.
Beautiful
Star Wars is brilliant.
Yeah, beautiful story. So I hope that helped. Well, I hope that helped you guys, because, you know, we're here to encourage you. And anything else, Brian? Any other?
No. As I said last time, we do have the YouTube channel up. Story Chat with John, I think, is the actual YouTube channel. It's linked on our Facebook page, which you should also like. And if you guys would like and subscribe to the YouTube channel, hasn't gotten a lot of traffic, but you get to see our smiling faces. John sounds super stoked about that.
Oh, by the way, hey, look in our background. Notice this. I mean, set design. Look at this.
Totally gorgeous. Lamp here. Totally, we got
a beautiful. For all the audio people, you are missing this. There's a beautiful street lamp in the background, which is a nice set. Beautiful. I've got flowers. Flowers over my shoulder. You guys are missing this. It's just beautiful.
Lot of money went into what's behind me.
There you go. So we do this for you guys, and we want to encourage you. So,
YouTube channel. But again, most of you guys are on iTunes, Spotify, or Google. If you could give us a subscribe there, tell your friends about Story Chat. If we've been at all encouraging you guys, please tell your friends. Say, hey, I've got this. Point them to our How to Get Unstuck if you've got friends who are stuck in what they're doing. This villains episode, our protagonist, we've got all sorts of stuff. And if they're very confused about who John and I are, point them to the first episode, because that's when we kind of explain things. That would mean us a world of good if you guys would like and subscribe. And so, John, did you ever come up with a least favorite villain?
Oh man, I worked really hard to get the good one. Okay. I run to, and we'll close out here, but I haven't run. Mostly it's with the stuff I get from well-meaning people that are trying to write something, and it just falls flat because they don't have a strong antagonist. And usually
does that antagonist fall flat?
Because they don't have a passion, they don't have, or they're stereotypical. It's like, I've seen this before. By the way, real quick, as we go out, is when you're writing story, give us something we haven't seen before. Give us a fresh angle. You can start with a stereotype and then do a twist on it. You know, do this, go ahead and play with a cliche, but then put a twist on it. It's like, it's the mild-mannered accountant, but he really is, he's a bodybuilder I don't know. I'm just throwing stuff out, but just give us something give us something unusual. Give us something unique, something we haven't seen before. Not your stereotypical cliche stuff. So if that'll help. All right. Well, we're here, guys. We're here for you. And thank you. Thank you for tuning in, for being part of this. Hit us with questions. We love questions. And we're all about telling great story. We want to help you tell great story, and we want to change the world, and we're going to do it together. All right, let's do it.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Story Chat. If you want to hear more, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. If you have any questions for John or feedback on the show, please email us at storychatwithjohn@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.